Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
The chilling new original docuseries on Paramount Plus.
Why did he kill his family? The answer lies across the ocean in a woman named Sylvie.
She's the can model.
Where desire leads to deception.
I ended up spending $12,000 and $15,000 a day.
It was addictive.
I can't get you out.
And obsession leads to murder.
Who did this to your family?
You can't really maintain a fantasy forever.
Control Alt Desire, now streaming on Paramount Plus.
Welcome to the Early Wedge presented by BetMGM. I am your host, Eric Cohen, otherwise known as EC. Make sure to like this video, subscribe to the Sportsline YouTube page, some really exciting shows and everything else in between, between now and football season and then beyond. Anyways, this is a big show. This is our biggest show of the year, I would say. It's the Master Show. And if you watched our show last week, congratulations, because you made a lot of money. The counselor, Sia Najat, hit Akshay Bhatia, first-round leader, at plus 6,500. I hit one of my top 20 parlays, believe it or not, Spieth, Oberg, and Matsuyama at plus 1,300. Right there, you're paying for all your Masters bets and more. But there's a lot more to talk about. So let's bring in the stars of the show. None other than, well, we referenced him earlier, the counselor, Sia Najat, one of the best golf bettors on the planet and one of the smartest golf minds on the planet, who came so close to hitting Louis Oosthuizen at LIV Miami. But, Patrick, I got to give Sia the first word here. You hit plus 6,500. You're on the board with an FRL. How does it feel?
Well, it feels good to be on the board with an FRL. But if I'm being honest, like, I'm always looking for ways to improve, right? And if I had just done something a little different over the last 2 weeks, don't forget, 2 weeks ago at the Houston Open, Stephen Yeager won. Well, I had him as a first-round leader, but I didn't have him as the winner. This week, of course, Akshay Bhatia, first-round leader, that's great, but I didn't have him as the winner. So, you know, listen, I hit one of the big ones. That's great. But I feel like maybe I should have had those guys in a couple more spots, which is why you'll see some of my first-round leaders mirror some of my outrights. That's not always going to happen, but just noticing this trend over the last 2 weeks, let's see if it's an actual trend at Augusta.
And I can tell you this, there is some synergy among the three of us, especially when it comes to outright picks. I did cheat and look at the study guide for later in the show, so get ready for that. Patrick, you know, we were talking before the show, so you came close to hitting Louis at LIV Miami, and you mentioned that he had his some issues. Which was worse, what Louis did kind of on the back nine at LIV Miami, or his final nine at LIV Miami, or what Denny McCarthy did in his playoff hole at TPC San Antonio?
I think with Louis, you kind of, you know what you're getting out of the experience. Like, I signed up for that knowing what Louis Oosthuizen has done to me personally over the last handful of years. I mean, I think in particular, the 2021 U.S. Open, hitting one out of bounds on the 71st hole, had money on him that time. Not that I remember these type of beats like you, EC, but the thing with Denny, I mean, that's tough. It's really tough because, one, I know Denny personally. He's a great guy. And two, he is a killer. Like, deep down he is. And just going on that roll and then chunking a wedge and teasing you that much after a back nine 28, it's tough. I think the Denny one's probably easier to swallow just because at the halfway point, he was half a dozen down.
Yeah, and I saw the stat that between Denny and Akshay, they had the best strokes gained among any between the two of them. I think they were, 20 under par. They would have won the last 164 PGA tournaments, something like that, with the strokes gained number. I mean, Sia, just watching that tournament yesterday, does that make you want to bet Akshay and Denny this week? Or are you like, all right, that's last week. Augusta's a different animal. We're staying away.
Yeah, it's the second part. Augusta's a different animal. I mean, listen, they're both really good players. And when they get hot, they get really hot, which is why I had Akshay as a first-round leader in the first place. But the reality is I didn't think Akshay could sustain it for four rounds. He did, and we can see he's like such an improved golfer because of that consistency he can exhibit with the spike potential. But do I expect him to do it at the Masters? That type of run, that type of the streaks he was going on, him and Denny, really incredible. Okay, but now we've got all the live guys. We've got Scottie Scheffler. I just think these guys are boxed out too much. I gotta say though, I mean we just kind of flew over it, but Patrick McDonald, like, buddies with Denny McCarthy. Can I just ask one follow-up question? The former attorney in me feels like I need to depose Patrick McDonald. Just one question, like, are you guys like buddies? Like, you have his number and like you can text him, or when you run into each other, like, he knows who you are and you say hi to each other?
No. So see, he's actually from our neck of the woods. He's
I knew
a
that
Georgetown mm-hmm. prep boy. I won the 2020 or 2013 WCAC golf title at his country club, Argyle Country Club. No big deal. Player of the year that year. It's like if we're walking around the tournament, like, we'll say hi to each other. I don't have his digits.
Wow. But that was a much more impressive answer than I expected. I knew you were great at golf, but I didn't know that stuff.
You can look it up. It's in the Washington Post.
No big deal. Whoa.
Don't worry about it.
See, I know what you'll be doing after the show, doing some research on Patrick's exploits. All right, let's get right to storylines. Patrick, yours is really interesting this week. You're saying that at Augusta, it's not all that hard to win comparatively, no?
Yeah, so Brooks Koepka kind of made waves a few years ago saying when he comes into a major championship, there are like 25, 30, 35 guys who can win. And last week, he somewhat doubled down, but, you know, kudos to him, the Florida State education, saying statistically the Masters is the easiest major to win. And he's 100% correct. He pretty much said the quiet part out loud. You have 89 guys. You take out the old guys. That's about 10 of them. There's 20 debutants this year. You can probably take out 16 to 17. Ludwig, Wyndham Clark, Akshay's in that bunch. You have guys who aren't playing well, guys who don't play well in major championships, guys who don't play well at Augusta National, someone like Bryson DeChambeau, who I don't hate the number this week, but 7 trips, 0 top 20 finishes. Tyrrell Hatton, someone who has publicly stated he does not like Augusta National. And after you go through all these categories, you whittle it down, and from 89, there's probably 20 guys who can seriously contend for the Masters. And then from there, it's all about picking the right 2, 3, or 4 guys and hopefully cashing a bet.
You just made this betting this tournament so easy. Just, I mean, the fact that we just narrowed it down to 20, but Sia, your storyline actually fully agree with as well. Scottie Scheffler's odds at under 4-1. Is that crazy?
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. I mean, listen, Scottie Scheffler is amazing. We see him at plus 400 at some places, plus 450 in other places. Like, I mean, I can't imagine a scenario where you bet Scottie Scheffler at this tournament. I think at other tournaments over the last few weeks, I think it's somewhat justified. But with all of the guys like Brooks Koepka coming back and Joaquin Neiman, who's an up-and-comer, and that guy John Rahm, who very well could win this tournament, it's actually like kind of laughable. And this is no disrespect to Scottie Scheffler, by the way. It's like laughable to me that this number is at plus 400 and plus 450. It doesn't make any sense to me whatsoever. I understand how good Scottie Scheffler has been, but it's not a bettable number at all. And honestly, I would have thought his number would have opened at like plus 650 and then maybe kind of flattened out to plus 600 because they do take on some liability. And maybe this is just, you know, the live guys not getting respect, or some of these Patrick Cantleys and Victor Hovlands who typically we expect to contend. Maybe we just don't think they're going to contend in this particular Masters. But I think it's staggering that we're seeing Scottie Scheffler, not just at a full field PGA event with all of the top players, but also add in the live players, and we're still looking at plus 400, plus 450. That's a crazy number.
Yeah, I think it's a great storyline as well. And I can't get that missed putt on 18 at the Houston Open out of my head. I mean, if that dude's missing 5-footers in Houston, good luck at Augusta. Now, listen, I think Scotty will finish in the top 10. I just don't think he's bettable. I mean, he's the safest bet on the board. But unless you parlay like a 5-leg parlay, and, you know, I'm never against that. I mean, watch the Early Edge tomorrow with Sia. The guys will give out a bunch of parlays a bunch of plays, put those with Scotty, and then you got something. Outside of that, pass. Now, we've already gone, 9 minutes into the show, and it's our first mention of you-know-who, Tiger Woods. And will Tiger Woods make it to Saturday? And I'm not just talking about his health, but will he actually make the cut? Patrick, I'll start with you. How do you feel about Tiger's chances this week?
I think expectations have never been lower for Tiger Woods. Someone on a different golf program gave him a 10% chance to win today. I am not going that far. Safe to say that guy does not do much handicapping, no disrespect. But yeah, one thing he has going for him, institutional knowledge, what's going on in between the years, obviously 23 straight made cuts. That ties the record with Fred Couples and Gary Player. He's going for the personal record with 24 this time. I think he could do it. I think he could make the cut. I think it's going to be tough. He's only played 25 holes this year in competitive setting, but there's just so much unknown with him, health, how he's going to walk. And so it's just stay away. If you want to play him to make the cut and have a little fun that way.
Sia, are you more concerned about Tiger from a health perspective or a game perspective?
A little bit of both, but I'd say those two things are tied, right? Because we know because of the health, the game is just lacking when it comes to his ability to do certain things that he's done and his ability to really practice golf, like short game. I don't know how much he's able to practice off the tee. I don't know if he's able to do the things he needs to do to be really good off the tee, to create like more distance than maybe he already has. I mean, we know the prolific Tiger, he had all of those things, but he just doesn't have those now. Now, I do think, given what we talked about in terms of how many amateurs and debutants are in the field and experience and all those things, I do think he's going to make the cut. I'm not willing to put money on it. I'm not betting anything Tiger-related other than just not playing him in DFS. But, yeah, I think he is going to make the cut. I just don't know how well he's going to do Saturday and Sunday. But it wouldn't shock me at all if he has some good stretches even over the weekend when he makes the cut.
And I think Patrick mentioned it, though, Sia. I mean, the institutional knowledge that Tiger has of this course, he knows every nook and cranny that Augusta National is going to throw at him. With that said, the health is what I'm concerned about. I think the game will be okay. And it just depends what the cuts. I think Tiger can very well go out and shoot minus one over the first 2 days. But can his health stay? I mean, can he stay upright? Is he going to run into issues, you know, and be able to finish four rounds? And I seriously doubt that. I think an honest bet would be, will Tiger complete all 72 holes of this tournament? And I think right now, if I were to put a line on it as an odds maker, I'd say plus 250. Patrick, do you think that's a fair line?
I will say the one thing that's going to be tough on Thursday is the rain that's supposed to come in. They're expecting like roughly an inch. And we have seen on wet golf courses, Tiger Woods walking, especially someplace like Augusta National, that's super hilly, it's going to be tough for him. But as the week progresses, the weather is getting hotter. It's supposed to be like in the 80s over the weekend. So if he can make it into the weekend, I think he does have a good chance to finish all 72 holes.
All right, fair enough. All right, let us move on to DFS plays. And we all have, I'm even joining the party this week. But see, I'm going to start with you because you're fading a player who has made, who's been in the top 10 in eight of his last nine majors. Now, the one that he missed was a missed cut at Augusta. You're fading Rory McIlroy at not a terrible number. Why is that?
Yeah, when you say number, of course, we're referring to his price in DraftKings. Here's the thing. When looking at Rory McIlroy, I mean, listen, he's been a famous fade for me over the last month. I mean, I've basically been fading him every time. And sometimes he's actually scored really well in DraftKings. For example, last week, I mean, he kind of put on a show on Sunday. With that said, there's four guys around Rory McIlroy that I'd rather play than him. So this isn't as much a fade of Rory McIlroy in DFS as much as an endorsement for Scottie Scheffler at 12,100, John Rahm at 11,200, Brooks Koepka at 10,200, even Xander Schauffele at 9,900, which is under Wyndham Clark. Those are guys I would prefer to play over Rory. So I'm not saying Rory's going to have a terrible DFS tournament. I'm saying I just prefer actually the win equity of some of those other guys, maybe not Xander, but those other three guys. I think John Rahm and Scottie Scheffler and maybe even Brooks Koepka. Actually, I shouldn't say maybe, even definitely Brooks Koepka. I think they have more win equity than Rory McIlroy. So why am I playing Rory? So again, that's sort of the rationale there. As far as my picks, I mean, Hideki Matsuyama is going to be really popular. So kind of warning there, if you're in a bigger contest, just know he's going to be very popular because he's only 9,000 and he's really, really good, particularly at the Masters. We know he won, what was it, in 2021. Since 2015, he's made every cut and finished inside the top 20 eight times. He has been so good at the Masters. We know the around the green play is good. The ball striking has been good. He checks all the boxes in recent form that I want to see. Weighted off the tee, weighted approach, long iron play, of course, around the green play. I just think at 9,000, it's an absolute steal. Everybody's going to know that. That's why he's going to be popular. Cameron Young's a bit of a different story. I think he'll be somewhat popular, but I think there's value there at 8,500. He's one of those guys that when you look at his Masters track record, missed the cut, his opening, his when he was a debutant. Okay, that makes sense. But then what was it? I think it was seventh place last year. Somebody correct me if I'm wrong, but a top 10 finish last year. And again, he checks a lot of the boxes. Distance off the tee, weighted off the tee, weighted approach, long iron play. I just think Cameron Young is just one of those guys that, and by the way, the round the green play, which is usually checkered for him, it's been okay the two times he's been at Augusta. I just think he's one of those guys that has tremendous upside. And then Taylor Moore, I'm stealing one from Patrick McDonald here. He was T39 in his debut last year, which is very impressive in my opinion. But his recent form is really, really good. And it's just so noticeable when you look at it against his price of 6,400. So I'm happy to take what might be a bit of a chalky Taylor Moore.
That's fair enough. We love the bargain bin. You know, it's too bad that Grayson Sigg is not in the Masters because we know what Patrick would have done. But I'll tell you what, Patrick, you're going a little bit higher than we normally see in this section. Matthew Fitzpatrick, the more reading that I've done on him today, the more I'm liking his chances. Why do you like him at 7,900?
He's a major champion. He finished top 10 in the Masters last year, and he's coming off back-to-back top 10 finishes, including one at the quote-unquote strongest field in golf. We know that's not true, but the strongest field on the PGA Tour. Let's not overthink it, fellas. I mean, 7,900 for that? Absolutely. I will buy in. The iron play might have to take a sizable step in the right direction for him to win this, but I think he is an easy potential top 10 finisher. Adam Scott, 7,100 is next. I have an issue. I'm itching from withdrawal from last week. You know, I didn't get my Adam Scott fix for these last couple days, but he's hitting the ball great. We know he can win here. The finishes haven't been totally great at Augusta National, but I think he still has like one more major run in the tank, and I think it could come this week. And then Chris Kirk, 6,900. The grass types are different, but the topography between Kapalua and Augusta National are undeniable. John Rahm, Patrick Reed, Jordan Spieth, Zach Johnson, all winners in Kapalua. I mean, Rahm won in Kapalua and then won in Augusta. Kirk, I mean, he's driving, to steal phrase from Jordan Spieth, the living piss out of the golf ball at the moment. He has a great short game. Georgia boy, finished inside the top five at a major a couple years ago at the PGA, top 25 in his return to Augusta last year as well. I love him, sub 7,000 at 6,900. I co-signed the Taylor Moore play, of course. So yeah, how can you not? And then I'm going to fade Will Zalatoris, which I don't love. Similar to Sia's description of Rory, like I think he could be in for a great tournament potentially. But there's going to be some regression, I think, given his first two starts at Augusta National. If you look just minimum eight rounds, total strokes gained, he's at 3.5 per round. That's almost like a full stroke ahead of John Rahm, who's in second. That's going to come down eventually. And there's some question marks, I think. He hasn't been playing too great the last couple weeks. So I think if there's ever a time for him to kind of disappoint at Augusta, I think it'd be this week. And so, I mean, there's so many people, so many options in the 9,000 range that I'll eat some chalk there and then try to diversify elsewhere.
So my fade this week is Wyndham Clark at 10,000, guy that's never played Augusta. Now, I had friends that actually went to dinner with Wyndham Clark on Saturday here in Scottsdale. I can't explain how that happened, but you just got to trust me. And I have a picture to prove it. And I asked my buddy who was at dinner with him. I'm like, so can you get me some betting knowledge? He's like, I can't ask that, but just stay away. Just trust me on this one. Stay away from Wyndham. Okay, fine. At 10,000. Yeah, I'll avoid him. Jordan Spieth, Moshe asked, well, why can you go with Jordan Spieth? Six top four finishes here, including a win in 2015 and two of those in the last 3 years. So all I need to see, forget what he did at TPC San Antonio over the weekend, which is pretty darn good. The course history here is phenomenal at 9,300. I think that's great. Hideki Matsuyama, that was touched on, I believe, by Sia. Russell Henley, who I really like a lot, 7,200. He has two fourth place finishes in his last three tournaments. He's T4 here last year, a Georgia boy, and has made six straight cuts. And the key for DFS to round out your lineup, you just need guys to play all four rounds. This tournament obviously means more to most, but especially a Georgia boy in Russell Henley. So those are my DFS plays and fades. And now it's time to for the section that I don't even deserve to be in this one. And I made picks. I'm not going to give any explanation for why I'm making picks. This is Sia Najad's territory. He is Mr. FRL. He hit a plus 6,500 last week. So Sia, nobody cares what I have to say. Let's hear what you do.
Well, I did hit my first round leader, which is a little disappointing. I mean, it's the beginning of April. Like, I should be on my second or third at this point. And we came really close. One of the guys we came close with, by the way, was Hideki Matsuyama. So I'm going right back to him. I just sung his praises, obviously, in DFS. He's been so good. Of all the players that are just super, super comfortable at Augusta, you got to put Hideki in the top three or the top five. Jordan Spieth's certainly one of those guys that you see as well. But there's only so many people that I just, from a consistency standpoint and an ability to spike standpoint, that I'd want to take as a first round leader at Augusta. And Hideki Matsuyama, 28-1, I'll go ahead and take that. Brooks Koepka, we've talked about it. We saw him at the Masters sort of gas out on Sunday, but this guy's all systems go. You know, he should be all systems go all four rounds, to be honest with you. But I like his number at 28-1. And then, of course, Cameron Young, I mentioned. This is a classic first round leader option, right? Cameron Young, a guy we don't expect to be able to close on Sunday, but actually has the game to close after 18 holes. The one caveat I'll say about first round leaders is that we don't exactly know what the weather is going to do. We referenced it earlier in the show. It looks like there's going to be some rain in the morning, but also some thunderstorms as well, some wind. Thursday is going to be messy altogether. I don't know if they're going to get the full round in. I don't know if getting bumped to Friday is going to be a benefit. The bottom line is we don't know what the tee times are. So I've given you these three. I may add one once I get tee times, but hopefully, again, it's only an 89-person field, so these aren't going to be staggered as much as a full field event, but it's something to monitor. So if you wanted to wait on hitting any of these first-round leaders for, you know, whatever, tee times to come out and a weather report, maybe Wednesday we get more clarification, these numbers aren't going to change. So this is one of those bets you could potentially wait on, but I'm happy to take these three right now.
Patrick, you're going with Xander, who I know we'll probably talk about later in the show. That's a kind of a low number for an FRL. Why are you going with Mr. I haven't won in 2 years, but we're all backing him this week?
Oh, because he's the second best player in the world at the moment. You look over the last handful of years, the second nine at Augusta National, the best score in relation to par, that belongs to Xander Schauffele. He was the first round leader at the U.S. Open last summer with that record-breaking performance alongside Ricky Fowler at LACC. And he just does everything super well. He's driving the golf ball as well as he ever has. The around the green game is in a great spot. We know he can go super low in the first round. So I like him throughout the entire tournament, and it might as well just start on Thursday.
I'm good with it, but I think I have the second best player in the world right now as far as my first round leaders. I know it's LIV, and I know they play 54 holes. Wait, what's wrong with Joaquin Niemann? Is anybody outside of Scottie Scheffler playing better than Joaquin Niemann right now?
Yeah, I just named him. Xander Schauffele.
But he hasn't, the guy hasn't Wyndham won. Clark. He hasn't won in 2 years, more than almost that.
Doesn't matter. He's playing better than Joaquin Niemann.
All right, fair enough. I'm going Niemann, Sahith Theegala, Russell Henley. Listen, I'm just dart throws. I trust Sia. I trust Patrick on these. But if you want some extra names, throw in there to have a bigger card. Yeah, let's take a shot with these guys. I think all three will have fine tournaments. Now, before we get into matchups, which is an area that I've actually done okay in recently, finishing positions, well, we need to work on that. Let's hear from one of our sponsors.
Paramount Plus and the National Park Foundation present A Mountain of Zen. This Earth Week, you can live stream seven national parks for 7 days on Paramount Plus. Paramount Plus, official streaming partner of the National Park Foundation.
Baseball has begun, which means you need to listen to Fantasy Baseball Today in 5, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Sanfel, every Monday through Saturday as we deliver all of your fantasy baseball needs in just 5 minutes. We'll break down the biggest performers, news, and prospects who could make an impact this season. Make sure to download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, the Odyssey app, and everywhere else podcasts are found.
That music is like it's just the best. I saw a video on social media the other day that showed a couple of guys are like, tell the wives, this is what we're doing this weekend. And they just show them sitting down in front of a TV with the music playing and Jim Nance, you know, speaking in a very, you know, quieter tone as he usually does at Augusta and saying, you know, welcome friends. That's what we're doing this weekend. It is what it is. Get ready. Now, Patrick, I got to ask you, you've never been to Augusta. I actually thought you had. I had heard a rumor that what I'm doing today on the show is wrong in that I'm wearing a Masters shirt, but I've never been to Augusta. Have you ever heard of any rules like this?
I have. I'm not going to knock you for it. I think golf's pretty stuffy in general, so I don't need to knock you off your pedestal at the moment. I mean, you're the host of the Early Wedge. You can do whatever you want.
It does feel like, by the way, I have no objection to it, but it does feel like, you know, back in the college days, I don't know who was in a fraternity and who wasn't. It feels like you're wearing like fraternity letters of a fraternity that you're not in. That's the feeling I get. I don't object to it because I don't care, but I'm just
stolen valor. You see,
I was never in a fraternity. I don't think that surprises anyone, but I'm trying to be today. And that's why I am wearing my green Masters polo on the show today. All right, let's get to matchups. Sia, you have a couple that are really interesting, including, you know, we talked a little about Liv, and now that, you know, we've given out picks on the show, but John Rahm, since he's gone over there, has finished in the top eight in all five Liv tournaments. He's getting a pretty good price over Patrick's boy, Xander. Why do you like him?
So here's the thing. This is one of those, just like last week, where I kind of question it in a sense, because I do think John Rahm, from a win equity standpoint, has way more over Xander. I say way more. I mean, it's a little marginal. Xander's obviously a great player. The thing about Xander, he's so consistent. But when I look at what John Rahm has, like, he hasn't won on LIV, but when I look at what he's done on LIV and what he's done at the Masters particularly, and I'm not talking about his finishing positions, which of course are excellent, I'm talking about his metrics. He seems like another one of those guys that I'd put in the Hideki bucket that is just so comfortable at Augusta. And again, because he's just a better player than Xander Schauffele, in my opinion, from a talent standpoint, I don't think minus 120 is some like crazy bargain. But to me, John Rahm is top three, top four, and I see Xander Schauffele as more like a top 10 guy. So I think the margins on this one are a little thin. And full disclosure, by the way, while I do like these matchups, in my article I'm going to have more. You know why? Because all the full host of matchups aren't out yet on DraftKings, on FanDuel. BetMGM has some, and that's what these two are. So credit to BetMGM. But I'll have a couple more out here, and you can pick and choose which ones you want. But I do like John Rahm in this tournament more than Xander Schauffele. That's why I like this bet. The other one I really like, I mean, Shane Lowry, first of all, his recent form has been very good, particularly in Florida, but 4th, 3rd, and 19th over his last three. That's the Cognizant, API, and the Players. Those are loaded fields, specifically API and the Players. And his form at the Masters has been really good. Over his last four Masters, T16, 3rd, T21, and T25, and he's done it in a sustainable way. Like, the tee to green has been very good for Shane Lowry at Augusta. Colin Morikawa, I have no idea where his game is. I just know the state of his game right now is not the state of Shane Lowry's game right now. So to me, this one is a name recognition line here. I think Shane Lowry should be like a minus 135 favorite over Colin. For some reason, he's not. I'll go ahead and take it.
All right. Now, Patrick, I really want to ask you about Adam Scott, but we're going to save that for later in the show. Brooks Koepka is an interesting one for me, because last week I was 100% in on Brooks Koepka, was going to bet an outright, wrote up my article on Sportsline on Friday, loved Brooks Koepka, and then he was awful at LIV Miami. And you know what? I know he's a major hunter. He's a big game hunter. I'm out. I'm just out. But Hideki Matsuyama, who I was in on before, you got to be impressed with what you saw this weekend. And at that price over Brooks, pretty good, darn good.
Yeah, thanks for doing the handicap for me there, EC. Couldn't agree more. I will say there are two men who have finished inside the top 20 in the last four Masters, Scottie Scheffler and Hideki Matsuyama. Playing great, has great history here. Brooks put a new putter in the bag, put a new driver in the bag. The iron play from, LIV Golf releasing their strokes gained data hasn't been too great this year, and the putter hasn't been great either. So I'm going to take a chance on Hideki, who I think has a higher floor than Brooks. Brooks obviously can win this golf tournament very easily, but Hideki, it seems like at worst, he's going to finish like T14. So I'll take that chance. And then JT minus 110 over Will Zalatoris. The more I talk about Will Zalatoris, the more I think he's just going to bite me in the butt. But we're going to go with JT with the new caddy. Got bones off the bag. I think tee to green, he's got everything working for him. The putter is obviously a big concern. The same can be said for Will Zalatoris, obviously. But I'll give the edge to JT in this one. And then Adam Scott minus 120 over Ricky Fowler. Ty is a separate bet here, so he's got to win it. Right? Fowler has been... I mean, it's great to see him back at Augusta National, but he has been so bad this year. just atrocious. It's kind of sad to see, to tell you the truth, after his 2023 season. And then Adam Scott, meanwhile, I just think he has a much higher floor than Ricky Fowler and a much better game at the moment.
That's fair enough. Makes sense. We know you're an Adam Scott guy, and you will explain even more later in the show if my notes tell me correctly. All right, my two head-to-heads, Joaquin Neiman over Wyndham Clark. I told you I was fading Wyndham Clark in DFS. Neiman made three straight cuts here. He was T16 here last year. Wyndham Clark has never played Augusta, and he was in Scottsdale the other night having dinner at a sushi place. So he wasn't practicing at Augusta. Yeah, I mean, I know that they had the
sushi in Scottsdale.
It was actually, what I hear, a very expensive meal, like a meal that I would never afford. And like, yeah, anyways,
I'd hope so. He's made like $1 zillion over the last
$1 zillion. And by the way, Wyndham Clark has been so good in elevated events. You talk about outside of Scottie Scheffler, he might be in terms since last May's Wells Fargo in the elevated signature events, whatever you want to call them. I don't think there's any player that's been better than Wyndham Clark. He's won a major. He won at Pebble Beach. He won it in Charlotte. He finished second at the API. Finished second at the Players, I believe, right? I mean, it's been incredible. Still, we're fading him this week. And then Russ Henley, I talked about him. And I think, Patrick, you explained it earlier, that Tyrrell Hatton just doesn't like playing here. Is that, can you say that?
Yeah. Huge rivalry.
Oh, great. Yeah. See, I'm all about it. Henley was T4 here last year. Six straight top 31 finishes. Yes, I'm going out to the number. Six straight top 31s here. So give me Russ Henley over Tyrrell Hatton at minus 120. Hatton only won top 20 in seven starts. All right. So now it's time for finishing positions. And Patrick, I know you don't have any, but I actually have a question for you at the end, just to kind of switch things up about Augusta National. So just put that one on your radar. Sia, we're going to start with you. And you're going with a pretty big card this week. You're going with an EC level finishing positions card. Have to say, I am very proud of you. Five picks this week. Let's hear them.
You know, I think part of the reason I'm doing this is because of what Patrick led the show with, you know, there's only so many people that are going to be competing, not just to win outright, but to top 20, top 40. And what I mean is, we know how many people are in the field, but in terms of how many people are actually going to be competing or super competitive throughout four rounds, I only think there's a handful. And so I'm a little bit more inclined to sort of sprinkle the field a little bit with finishing. By the way, last week, two out of three, and they were all obviously plus money. We ended up hitting that Keith Mitchell, by the way, that top 20 at plus 280, although that was a tie, so that got reduced a little bit. But I'll start with Taylor Moore. Listen, this is Patrick Sky, but I got to take a look here. He was 39th last year, so hopefully he can fit inside. But to be honest with you, he's playing a lot better now than he was then. I mean, this guy has really been really good with all of the boxes you want to check at Augusta. I mean, he checks most of them. The recent form has been really good. And honestly, the finishing positions have been really good. Like, he's been showing spike potential. I think he's like, it's kind of a funny long shot because I think he's like 250-1. But I think top 10 is something worth considering because the number's so incredibly high. Anyway, I like him. Lucas Glover, another top 40. Had him last week, top 40. The game has been pretty good for Lucas Glover. He's played here plenty. Not recently, but prior to 2015, he'd played here a lot. So I do think he has, even though the course has changed a lot, he's had some experience here. In 2022, he finished 30th behind really solid off the tee game and around the green play. I think he's going to be just fine here to finish inside the top 40. Siwoo Kim, top 30 at minus 110. He's been very good at the Masters. Not a lot of top end finishes here, but finishing inside the top 30, like pretty routinely. It's poor off the tee game that usually plagues him at Augusta, but his off the tee game right now has actually been very good. So I think we're looking at the right place, right time for Siwoo Kim. Shane Lowry, I mentioned at T20, I like the plus 150 number. And then Cameron Young, T10. This is one of those where I almost treat it like I treated Keith Mitchell last week, where I'm like, this guy could absolutely blow up. So instead of taking like a safe top 30 or top 40 number, I know what his upside is, so I'd rather take the upside, not to win outright necessarily, but in the top 10 market at a big, big plus number.
All right, fair enough. I like that. And Siwoo Kim is somebody that I wrote up in my article last Friday. It was at 100-1 outright, and as you said, the history here, fantastic. All right, I'm going with five plays here. I've struggled in this market recently, so do what you want with these, but I have good rationale. We're going Rory McIlroy, top 10, plus 110 DKs, including ties in certain finishing positions. Make sure to look for those specifically. Top eight finishes in seven of his last eight majors. Now, Bryson DeChambeau, I think Patrick mentioned this earlier, does not have a top 20 in seven trips to Augusta. I think this is a good time to get one. He has four straight top 10s on LIV. You're getting plus 120 at BetMGM, and that includes ties as well. Sahith Theegala, top 20, plus 145, including ties. Top 10s in three of his last five tournaments. Solo ninth here on debut last year, gained more than four strokes on the greens. Talked about Russell Henley. You can get this one, including ties, at plus 170 on DK. And then Matthew Pavon, that's kind of a sleeper here. Top 40 at plus 115. This does not include ties. He struggled on the Florida swing, but did turn it around in the DP World Tour Singapore Classic solo fifth 3 weeks ago. So Pavon was great in January. I saw that he was playing with Shane Lowry out here at Augusta the other day. So he's getting some tournament, or he's getting some course experience. So I kind of like his chances. Now, Patrick, we know you had mentioned earlier in the show that you were the club champion in the DC area, I believe, in 2013. So I was told by somebody who has played Augusta National multiple times that he could put me on the green and he would get to pick where I put the ball in the green, where he puts the ball in the green in regulation, and I still wouldn't break par. Do you think you could? If I were to walk around to all 18 holes and just randomly put it anywhere between 15 and 60 feet, do you think you could break par in that scenario?
My first time there.
Your first time there?
Probably not.
Okay. And you're a really good putter. I mean, you're like a three handicap, if that.
Whoa. You see, scratch. Come on, man.
Scratch!
So disrespectful.
Like, oh, disrespectful. My apologies.
Take that shirt off. I take that take back.
There you go. You just never know what you're going to find here on the Early Wedge. Now, where can you bet all of these? You can bet them at BetMGM. New BetMGM customers can sign up today, get up to $1,500 in bonus bets. Just place your first wager of at least $10, and you will receive up to $1,500 instantly if your bet loses with bonus code EDGE. That's E-D-G-E, EDGE. Coming up next, it's Outrights. And we have some synergy here on the Early Wedge.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast wherever you get your podcasts.
Should you ever set foot outside of the motel, you will be shot.
Don't miss the new Showtime limited series based on the international bestseller.
For the last 4 years, I've been a prisoner.
Why are they keeping you here?
Starring Emmy Award winner Ewan McGregor.
This is the brave new world that you dreamt of.
Be very careful. You are still a prisoner here.
Everything in this new world comes at cost.
This is still my country.
A Gentleman in Moscow. Now streaming on Paramount Plus. Only with the Paramount Plus with Showtime plan.
You know, I don't want to spoil what we're about to talk about, but a guy who's really good at the RBC Heritage. In fact, he won 2 years ago, lost in a playoff last year. Was one Jordan Spieth. I have a feeling we're going to talk about him in this segment. Just a hunch play. But see, we're going to start with you here. You're going with a four-pack of winners, including, I guess you've talked about all four of them already, but you're going to start with Brooks as your highest ranked player at plus 2,000. Why are you rolling with Brooks Koepka outright?
Yeah, mostly because I don't think he's priced properly. I would probably have put him at like plus 1,400. And by the way, this number has been bet down a little bit. But I put out this pick and the Hideki pick about 2 weeks ago across a lot of CBS sports platforms, including on Sportsline. And Brooks was 20-1 then. It's 18-1 now. I think 18-1 is fine at most books. And Hideki actually got it 28-1. I think he's 25-22-1 now. So, like, listen, I think I've already kind of talked about it. Hideki and Brooks, I think, are really, really good course fits. But Brooks, we've seen when he's not been injured at Augusta, which, you know, there were a couple of years where he was dealing with a lot of injuries. He's been really, really good here. So I think we're kind of getting a discount on some of these live players because we haven't seen a lot of them, or we've seen some of them on live, but they're not actually winning tournaments. So they don't get sort of that Taylor Gooch bump or that Joaquin Neiman bump. So I'm happy to take Brooks there. Talked about Hideki already. Cam Young, I mean, this really is a long shot here, but I really think his game suits Augusta quite well. And especially when you consider in the 2 years he's played here, he hasn't been that bad around the green. So if the short game can be okay, I do think he can be in the conversation. And at 55-1, I'm willing to find out. And Shane Lowry, we talked about him in the finishing position market. He's just one of those guys that's fully under the radar. And it's partly because he didn't play a lot at the beginning of the season or at the beginning of 2024. And when he did, he was pretty bad up until Florida. So I don't think the market is really caught up. And by the way, Shane Lowry doesn't appear to be the best scores fit because he's not one of those monsters off the tee. He's not necessarily a sexy name that we like to bet, but he's good with the long irons, and his off the tee game at Augusta has been very good. And we know when it comes to elements, he'll be good there, and the short game should be okay too. So 60-1 is not a gift per se, but it's one of those where it's like we might look back and be like, nah, he probably should have been 35-1.
Great picks, and I'm with you on Matsuyama, but I'll tell you what, this week the gold star goes to Patrick McDonald because his picks are out of this world when it comes to his outrights. Why are you going with Xander and Jordan?
Yeah, Xander Schauffele 16-1. I dipped in last week when I was counting my money thinking, oh, I'm going to get an extra $100 on Xander from EC when Keith Mitchell wins the Texas Open.
Yeah, that was not happening.
It never happened. So I donated $100 of my own to the cause, to the Xander Schauffele Foundation. I just think the world of this guy. I think his game's in a really good spot. He's been there in major championships before. He hasn't gone out and grabbed one. And I think this is a time for him to grab one. Had a chance in 2019 with Tiger Woods winning, and also 2021 when Hideki Matsuyama won. So great history here, great history in major championships, great form, not going to overthink it. And then I also got trapped in the Jordan Spieth web at 22. There might be a 25 floating around. Still, if you can grab that, obviously love it more. I mean, this guy should have like 14 green jackets. It seems like between 2016, 2018, 2021, he crushed the field from tee to green, couldn't make a putt. Last year, he was close as well. So off the tee, he's in a really good spot. On the greens, he's in a really good spot. And those have kind of been his two big bugaboos the last 2 years. The iron play took a nice step in the right direction there in Texas. And I think the around the green game is just going to rebound because I know it's been poor over the last month, but that is Jordan Spieth's like MO. So it seems like the whole game should be there. We know what he can do at Augusta National. It's just, I mean, can he just be normal and like mentally sound for 72 holes? Who knows? But I'll take the chance at a 22-1.
That's where the parlay strategy comes in as well. Find a pick out on the early wedge tomorrow morning see his pick. If he doesn't give out a Masters pick tomorrow in the show, parlay that with Jordan Spieth, you get him at 40-1, then we're all feeling good about that. Just throwing that out there. I mean, I don't really need to say a lot about my three because these guys covered him. You know, Xander, top 10s and 6 of 8 this season. Here's the only thing that I question about him. He has nothing higher than a T10 in a major since the U.S. Open of 2021. That's a little scary about that. He has not gone higher than T10 since 2021. If my stats are correct, you might want to double check me here, Patrick, but I swear I was
T10 in last year's Masters.
Right, T10, but he hasn't gone higher than that. I mean, I'm looking for somebody
36-hole leader at the U.S. Open in the mix.
Show me the win. I mean, unless we're playing FRLs, which I guess you are this week, I want to see winners. Anyways, I think Xander has a good shot. Listen, Jordan Spieth, you just have to at Augusta, and you have to at next week for the RBC Heritage. He gained more than 9 shots, ball striking another with a putter last week in San Antonio. He seems long overdue to win a major again. The last time he won a major, 2017. It's kind of crazy to think about. Then Matsuyama's playing out of his mind right now. Tee to green, he's in his last two tournaments combined, more than 25 strokes up against the field, tee to green. That's wild. Now, he's lost 2 strokes putting in each of the last two tournaments. If he can just putt neutral, like last year or in 2021 when he won, he gained less than 2 strokes putting, but he was so good everywhere else. And Patrick said last week on the show, if you all watched, that right now Hideki Matsuyama is the best player in the world around the greens. You're right, number one. Mm-hmm. So if Hideki can just putt a little bit above average, I think we have a pretty good shot here. So I love what the crew is throwing out this week. You guys, we're all on it. Now, Sia, I'm a little disappointed. You know, you're not throwing in any long shots this week. What's going on here?
Well, it's kind of funny. How do we define a long shot? Because Cam Young and Shane Lowry, I think, are like relatively long shot-ish. I could have very well had 2 in the outright section and those 2 in the long shot section. But the reality is, beyond that 60-1 mark, I don't think there's a lot of guys that have a big shot to win here. So, I mean, by the way, full disclosure, and if you follow me on Twitter, you would have seen this about like 6 weeks ago or a month ago, where I put in Harris English at 250-1. But the thing is, now that's down to 130-1, 100-1 in some markets. And I'm not saying Harris English is going to win. And I'm certainly not saying 100-1 is a great number when I got it at 250-1. So I do kind of have Harris English as a long shot. But again, that number's quite literally been cut in half.
By the way, spoiler alert, before we get to Patrick's picks, these guys write a lot of columns on sportsline.com, and I have one up there. But these guys are the featured golf writers on the site. And if you are a current member of the site or a former member of the site, then you got an email this morning with their faces in the email. Yeah, see, you guys didn't know that. But there were emails sent out to current and past Sportsline members with pictures of Patrick and Sia. So just wanted to point that out. Gosh. Check your email. Take a look at that. If you're, you know, just as if you're watching the show live or on replay, here they are. Now, Patrick, you're going to go with your one long shot. And, you know, we've teased it the whole show. Adam Scott time. Let's hear about it.
Nice. Finally, the readers can put a face to the name to curse for my picks on Sportsline. I'm just kidding. EC, you're going to have to forward me that email so I can mm-hmm. print it out and frame it. So I have a picture of me and Sia together in my place. But yeah, I'm going to go with Adam Scott, 120-1. I'm just going down with the ship. This is the last bon voyage moment with me and Adam Scott, given our last month together. It hasn't gone too well. He's hitting the ball great. He's won here, obviously, like a decade ago. And I think he has one more run in him. If you want to get weird, I do co-sign a couple of Sias like Taylor Moore, Lucas Glover, like 300+, 400+. If you want to get super weird and throw a couple bucks on those guys, sure. But yeah, I think a big guy's going to win. And maybe Adam Scott surprises some people.
So would he count in your, you know, you had mentioned earlier in the show that 20 guys can win this. Adam Scott is one of them.
Yeah, I think I got to, right? He's okay. He's number 20.
So for those of you who critique my parlays every week, well, we hit one plus 1300 last week. I mean, I feel really good about that. So we're giving out a few of them. I love this first one. You get it at DK top 10 parlay, including Ty, Xander and Hideki. We talked about them extensively throughout the show at plus 750. That's a wonderful number. This top 10 parlay is the next one, plus 1300. You can find that at FanDuel. Xander Schauffele, Rory McIlroy, and John Rahm. Feel really good about that one. If Xander doesn't mess things up, as Patrick has given all the logic on Xander, if he doesn't mess that up, we're going to hit this one. We're going to hit both of them because we got Hideki here and then Rory McIlroy and John Rahm. We got you know, four guys in the top 10 right there throwing Scotty. We've just named half of your top 10. I mean, right? Seems easy. And then a top 30 parlay. This one on DK, Koepka. I'm a little down on this week. Thigala, who we talked about earlier, and then Russell Henley, who I'm high on as well. All right. Those are the long shots. See if we can get on the board. Xander, please don't mess that up for me. All right. Guys, let's talk about winning score this week. What do you think would be – now, I haven't seen the number. I would say probably somewhere around, I don't know, 269, which is 15 under par. Patrick, you going under or over? Let's say 270. Going under or over?
270. So that is.
Oh, sorry. You're right. No, sorry. My math is wrong. So 288 is par. So let's say 270. Is that right? Because it's par 72 here.
Yeah.
So 288 is par. Let's say that the over under is 273.5. So 15 under would be the under. Are you taking that or are you? What's your winning score?
11 under is the winning score this week.
Interesting. Sia, what do you think?
I've got 13 under stuck in my head. I do think it's going to be challenging. I mean, I think the weather's supposed to be good over the weekend, but I think that, you know, they make it challenging here for a reason. Like the minus 18s, I don't think we're going to see that. I think we're going to see a tough course, 13 under.
Mm-hmm. All right, bold prediction. Anything other than Xander's going to win because we know that. Patrick, I'll start with you. Anything bold, Tiger, you know, top 20, Victor Hovland missed the cut. Give me something that we, you know, would surprise everybody.
Ooh, bold. Maybe it's bold. I think Rory McIlroy has a chance to win on the back nine on Sunday.
Wow, that's bold. For a guy that, and it was going to be my storyline of a guy that, I mean, I think we've learned you can't bet him, especially at that number, that plus 1,000. I think he's going to fare well. But wow, for you to say that, interesting. How about you, Sia?
So, you know, I was looking at some stats earlier. I don't have them in front of me right now, but it would be a very golf thing for a guy that's been awful all year to flash at the Masters and potentially win it. And I don't, the guy I'm about to say, I don't know if he can, because of his form is so bad right now, I don't know that he can win it. But if you were to play this guy in DFS, knowing that his ownership is very low, but his ceiling typically, historically, is very high, I think Patrick Cantlay is very interesting, especially when you see his metrics at Augusta in particular. He is clearly very comfortable here. He gains across the board in a pretty significant way. So in spite of the fact that his approach play in particular has been like genuinely hilarious over his last couple of tournaments, and he's just been flat out bad this entire 2024 year, he's the type of guy that I think it wouldn't shock me at all if we're like, oh, here we go. There's Patrick Cantlay finally showing up.
Well, Jake, if you have my graphic earlier that we did not show in the win column of players that I will not bet to win. Yeah, right here, the auto fade list. My bold prediction, none of these guys are going to win. Well, we don't have to worry about Keith Mitchell because, yeah, I mean, you guys tried that last week. And last time I checked, he's not here. Tommy Fleetwood, Sam Burns, Sahith Theegala, Cam Young, Scotty, we're not talking about. Patrick Cantlay, Tony Finau, Shane Lowry, or Justin Thomas. Nope. None of those are winning. Just saying that right then and there. Well, you know what?
Could scare you, I think, EC?
Who's that?
If I had to pick.
Don't say Tony Finau.
Tony Finau.
I knew it.
Interesting. Why do you say that, Patrick?
He's playing really good golf.
Yeah, well, he's still an auto fade.
You don't need to be a good putter to win the Masters.
You know, if not for one bonehead inclusion in this list, it has held up quite well since the beginning of March. Now, well, I mean, really bonehead. I should have put like, I don't know what I was thinking. It was Scottie Scheffler's name on here. It was just not very smart. Other than that. But no, in all honesty, it's going to be great. This is one of the best weekends of the year. Let's see what you guys think. Some of your bold predictions. All right. We've got David Talk says JT to win would be a shock. Yeah, that'd be a shocker. Okay. Let's see. Virtual says Rory wins and retires. I don't think that's happening. There's too much money out there. Josh, it's interesting. Phil Mickelson, top 20. He was T2 last year. I don't have a problem with that. Joe says DJ missing the cut. I don't hate that one either. Let's see if anything else. Japan, check your spam. Sid says Theegala, top 20. That's not bold. That's not bold. Of course we think that it's Theegala. I mean, I'm all over Sahith this week. Guys, I'm really appreciative. Great show as always. Great job for producer Jake. These graphics look amazing. And as always, I mean, the shows are great. And we did this on a Monday because, Patrick, where are you going to be seen and heard this week all over the CBS platforms?
Yeah, I'll be on the network Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, either 1 o'clock or 2 o'clock p.m. Eastern. HQ throughout the week, first cut pod, post round. I'll be, if you want to hear an idiot talk about golf, just tune in. I'll be there. I'll be your vice.
No, that's why they listen to me on the show here. You're good. Sia, where can people find you this? Well, I think we know that, but just remind everyone, where can people find you this week?
Yeah, I'll be peppering in some HQ. Like, I'm on HQ tomorrow to talk, obviously, the Masters, I believe, at 8 o'clock tomorrow, if you want to catch that. Maybe some more picks, because tee times will be out. I'll probably have a couple more picks to float, and I'll put those in my article too. But obviously, the early edge every single morning at 10 o'clock in the morning is going to be a lot of Masters talk, but obviously, we're going to be covering all the sports.
And as always, if you are not a Sportsline subscriber, what are you waiting on? I mean, if you want a good price on a subscription, DM me on Twitter. I'll take care of you, or on X, whatever it's called now. And I'll take care of give you the best price that I can find on the site. We want to get you back. These guys have some great columns, and C has given some teases that you can find some of his other plays not mentioned here on Early Wedge in those columns. So for Sia Nejad and Patrick McDonald, I'm Eric Cohen. As I always like to say, let's hit it big. Good luck.
Streaming on Paramount Plus.
You ready, Bob? Well, all
right. Audiences are raving. Bob Marley is electrifying. It's the feel-good movie of the year. You dig? Bob Marley, One Love. Rated PG-13. Now streaming on Paramount Plus.